The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another Kiefer and Curry. I've been sitting here for the last 45 minutes listening to a Need to Know, man. Another fantastic Need to Know. I love that show. Of course, you can hear it 5 days a week, just like you can the Kiefer and Curry show. We do it every single week right here on the TKR podcast. And of course, along with his radio shows on Saturday and Sunday, we do a TV show on Saturday at 10:30, 11 o'clock, our first big ball game. Clemson and Georgia coming up this Saturday. We'll be right up against at 10:30, 11 o'clock on ABC 3340. Looking forward to being there with my partner, breaking down college football from a local level. Should be a fantastic show again this Saturday. We'll have special guests and more. First of all, partner, how you doing, brother? Everything good?
I'm doing good. I publicly want to thank Tony Curry for kicking off our new football season this past week on WJOX, where he presided over for many, many years. But Tony's such a class guy. He does like 15. I don't think you folks might not realize, unless you look at the whole roster on TKR, Tony Curry does so many shows a week, but he was gracious enough to come on Saturday morning at 8:10 on our show to kick off our weekend, and we got off to a phenomenal start with our Saturday show, Game Time. I've been doing that throughout the summer, but this was the first official because it's a football-oriented show, hence the Game Time. And then we kicked off Season 8, Tony, on Sunday of the morning after, and it was a sensational success, 9 to 11 on Jocks. Everybody loves that show because it's their first chance to talk about what they saw on the field on Saturday. And we've got such a great lineup of callers and people that contribute to that show. But I, again, want to thank you so much because you were the guy who stepped in and despite being doing nothing but broadcasting all during the week, really got us off to a great start this weekend, being our first guest on Saturday on Game Time, and it was phenomenal.
Man, I am proud to be on, and I'm honored to be on anything you're on, and honored to be on that first guest. I know you reached out about getting Matt Coulter, and I know you like to delve into some old radio people, so happy to give to some of those people on there. And we'll have Trent Dilfer join you on your show here in the next few weeks. I've been in contact with him, doing a show with him a little later on this afternoon, so we're all over the place. And of course, you mentioned the fact that it was the first Saturday, and all of a sudden we had that one ball game. I think there were four or five games, and they were spaced out. It finished up with a game at 10:59 on Saturday night, but the big ball game everyone obviously was watching was the game in Dublin between Georgia Tech and FSU. I took Georgia Tech in that game plus the 10.5. It was one of those easy ones, which was hard to believe because they opened the game, FSU did, going right down their throats. I think they ran the ball five straight times. They score a touchdown. I'm thinking, okay, I'm on the wrong side of this game. That's why you play 60 minutes. Uiagalelei just looked fantastic in the first round. I was like, okay, Clemson did a horrible thing by leaving Klubnik in the cupboard, and they got rid of the wrong guy a couple of years ago. And next thing you know, Georgia Tech comes out, and their defense looked fantastic. You're talking about a preseason number one team. Everyone had FSU winning the ACC. Of course, they started the season last year 13-0 before being blown out by 60 in their bowl game. And all of a sudden, they're sitting at 0-1, a top 10 team in college football. Are they done? Are they done for the season? I know we got 12 teams we're picking, but as of right now, in the past, you could not afford to lose a game against a Georgia Tech. Even if you won the rest of your schedule, you couldn't have a loss like that on your schedule and make it in. Is FSU's season done?
No, they're not, because of the new system. And a great example of what you're talking about, I know your son goes to Clemson, and last year, remember, Clemson debuted opening weekend against Duke as a huge favorite, and Duke beat 28-7. They just blew Clemson out. And basically, that didn't end their season officially, but in the system we had last year, Tony, it really, in truth, did. That you're not going to recover from an opening round loss to Duke when you're a major favorite, and Florida State in past years would be in big trouble. But now they can, if they could get it together, which I'm not sure they're going to be able to, because they're dependent on a lot of transfer players, and that's another great element of the discussion, is that is can you build a team just on getting mercenary players and paying them big dollars to come to your place? But the bottom line is, with this new system, I've been saying all along, people need to get used to the fact, if you lost two games in the past, you're out.
Yep.
That's not the case now. You're going to be able to still get in dependent on what a lot of other teams do around you. It's really fascinating to watch all this unfold. But Florida State, of course, can overcome that one loss if they get it together and win the rest of their ACC games. They're likely to only be a one-loss team in that conference. And if you win the conference, you get an automatic berth and a bye in the first round. So they might not only be alive, they might be chilling on the couch for the first week if they can get through the rest of their ACC schedule.
And I threw that question out with a wink and a nod. Obviously, you're not out after one
game. Of course.
You would have been in the past, but again, you win your conference, you're going to be getting a look at. Yeah, the Memphis, of course, is going to be a big ball game for them out of the AAC. You got SMU, who just joined. Of course, you also got Clemson. We mentioned that game. You've also got Notre Dame and Florida. I don't know what Florida's going to be like. They're over-unders 4.5, so a lot of people not expect them to be very good, but that game's obviously at home with FSU. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting. And I we're all feeling out this brand new tectonic plated kind of 2024 season where teams have moved. There's been coaching changes. We don't have the greatest college football coach in the history of the game coaching anymore. It's just to see him on ESPN. It was just a really kind of it was a beautiful, wonderful Saturday. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely loved it. And I like the fact that it kind of started off light. A lot of people are like, well, there's no good games on. I don't care. Any college football is good college football. Could have been one game on Saturday. It was really, really good. Something else happened over the last couple of weeks, and that is high school football got kicked off here in the great state of Alabama.
Yes.
I will be the first one to admit that I haven't had a kid in high school until just 3 or 4 years ago. So I really wasn't following high school football as much as I probably should have, despite the fact that I was doing a morning show on Jocks for 15 or 20 years with two guys who did have kids that played in high school football. And they're like, man, when your Santo gets in high school, even if he's not a player, you're going to be watching a lot of high school football. And so yeah. I'm starting to do that. Right now, there are 894,301 student athletes in high school in the great state of Texas. I bring that up because roughly 10,000, or should I say 15,000, of those athletes are transfers to Texas high schools this year, either changing schools within the state or moving in from out of state. The University Interscholastic League estimates. They govern public school extracurriculars in Texas, prohibit students from transferring it for athletic purposes. That's funny.
Yeah, right.
But at the number, coaches say there's an increased risk of schools being able to create super teams, especially given the UIL said that less than 1% of all transfers were ruled ineligible last year. If you remember a couple years ago, they also set the rule saying that you did not have to sit out a year. Believe it or not, in high school football in Texas, if you transferred, regardless of whether your old man got a new job or whether you were just trying to play for a 6A or 5A, you had to sit out for a year.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden, that number, by the way, is about 4,000 higher than it was in 2023. It's an absorbent number. It's a huge number. And obviously, a lot of people, speaking of the wink and the nod, are going, okay, something very, very strange is here. There's also a clamor that charter schools have an unfair advantage now over the traditional public schools because, of course, a lot of people are transferring for those public and transfer schools. Coaches are particularly upset the UIL charter school Oak Cliff Faith Family, that's OCFF, has added at least 6 high-profile girl basketball recruits as transfers since 4-time state champion Angie Robinson took over a head coach about 4 months ago. She's a 4-time state champion. She took the team over. She's brought in 6 high-profile transfers from outside the state to play for her basketball team, and I'm betting that 5 of those will probably be starters. What... And I read this and I'm thinking, I knew it was coming. I knew it was going to happen. And we've kind of joked, when is it enough? When are we going to start paying high school players?
Oh, it's imminent. I mean, already states have changed the rules where colleges can start paying high school players. For years, that was taboo. You couldn't, if you were recruiting a kid in high school, you couldn't send him a check and go, hey, don't forget us. Now, Missouri was, of all places, Missouri was really the first state about 5 years ago that changed the law where if Mizzou was after a kid in St. Louis and they end up getting a receiver named Luther Burden, they started paying him, Tony, in the 10th grade. Can you imagine being a sophomore in high school and driving to some beat up hunk of junk one week, and then Missouri starts sending you checks for, you know, $50,000 while you're in you know, once a month or something for while you're in 10th grade, and all of a sudden you've got a Lamborghini in the high school parking lot. I mean, it's just craziness. And now all the states around us are changing laws. Georgia, Florida, and Tennessee just in the last year are allowing that. Alabama, amazingly, has not. The Alabama legislature, I don't know if they've even had a bill introduced yet, but right now Alabama and Auburn are at a disadvantage because they can't reach down and pay the high school kids.
No.
But they already have that money coming. But now, like you said, who's to say that the alumni associations and collectives for high schools aren't going to start paying other high school kids to come there? These guys might be making $1 million before they even graduate 12th grade.
And it is happening. A lot of people are saying, well, you know, we shouldn't penalize people that obviously we don't live in a world anymore where people work at the same job for 30 or 40 years like you and I do. My dad lived the same job for 37 years. That's why we had neighborhoods where neighbors actually knew each other because no one moved away. Now everyone's transient. Everyone's moving. They're always looking for the better deal. Athletes who transfer tend to end up at schools that are successful no matter their reason for moving over the last three seasons. Of course, obviously, if I'm moving somewhere with my children, I want them to make sure they're going to good schools. And if they're going to good schools where they have the financial acumen in order to have good athletes, and that's obviously going to be something that you're going to look at too. The UIL process to combine 509 PAPF forms from all sports for South Oak Cliff, 180, DeSoto 138, Duncanville 114, and Anna 77. Those by far are the four schools that basically took everybody. I mean, that's a huge amount. That's roughly 400 of the 500 transfer kids. There were four Dallas area schools that played in the UIL football state championship game last year. Three of those four schools are playing in the championship. The same schools added perhaps the four best players who transfer from one DFW school to another during the offseason. So, I mean, obviously the rich is getting richer. You think that high school football is crazy here in the state of Alabama, go move to Texas. I mean, it is outrageous. Oh, it's over the top.
There are stadiums there, Terry. I was talking to Terry about this the other day because she's down in Texas. There are stadiums there that are more opulent, Tony, than most colleges play in. I mean, they're 35 and 40,000 seat high school stadiums.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
The days of hiding.
Look right here close to home. Last Friday night, actually it was Thursday night. I'm flipping around. I go to ESPN2 and there is Thompson High School right here in Metro Birmingham playing Grayson County from Georgia, one of the top schools there that's only 8 or 9 years old that all of a sudden is this giant powerhouse. Georgia football, high school football has always been huge with schools like Valdosta, who has been dominant for years in high school football. I grew up in the Atlanta metropolitan area. I went to Peachtree High School, but we played teams like Lakeside, who was always a major power, the Athens schools, Cedar Shoals, and Clark Central. But now there's all these new programs popping up in Georgia that are taking that approach you've been talking about, recruiting players. So here you had Grayson and Thompson. Thompson was kind of a bottom feeder here in Alabama for many years. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they made a little bit of a deal and they didn't necessarily play the players directly, but they brought in the Tagovailovas from Hawaii, mysteriously moving to that fine community. First Tua and then Talia Tagovailoa at quarterback. And now they've had a pipeline of kids coming in. And here Thursday night on ESPN2, there's Thompson on national television. And I think they have a national television game against Oak Ridge or somebody in Tennessee this week. Mm-hmm. So they're the new Hoover. Hoover was one of the first schools in the country that started this stuff back 10, 15 years ago under Rush Probst. So,
well, they have 2 days, right?
Yeah, now for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of started it all when I could not believe.
So it's happening right here.
Yeah, you know, and it's I don't know what to, I don't know what to make of this. Part of me is like, why am I trying to put my foot on the neck of this? And why don't you just let it blow up? And I guess it's because I've seen it from the college level. We allowed too many things to happen without any ramifications or what we thought were going to happen. Now, all of a sudden, we have all these different loose ends we have to tie up, including this antitrust thing, which I still can't figure out because it goes back 10 years, but it's only for the top four or five conferences in college football, and no one else is making the money. I can't believe there's not some type of other lawsuit where other kids from other schools are saying, listen, I want a piece of that. And again,
the excuse is, of course, on that, it only could go back 7 years because that's the statute of limitations.
Yeah.
So imagine if you're a guy who played in, this is 2024. So imagine you're a guy who played in 2016 and the guy who was on your team but played a year later, it'd be in college in this particular case, but you missed by 1 year. These people are getting big checks now and you're not getting jack squat.
So I always kind of felt uncomfortable. And again, I got boohooed on Jocks 94.5 when I was on there because I didn't have a kid who was in high school and I didn't follow high school football. We did a recruiting thing. I really didn't give a squat about recruiting. I really didn't. Yeah. I mean, I watched college football and professional football at the yin yang, but as far as in 4 and 5 star guys, I wasn't into that kind of thing. I am now because I have to, and because I'm finding some joy in it. But so it's trickling down. We know it's going to trickle down. So it's down to the high school level now. And then when you turn your TV on later on this afternoon, you're going to see the Little League World Series. And I always try to think about the kid. I try to think about the student athlete. I try to think about the child. I try to think about what it would be like to be an 8, 9, 10 year old, getting your own walk up song on ESPN on a Saturday afternoon and having the entire world watch you. I watch these kids, and how competitive they are. And I know there's a lot of politicking that goes on and how teams get, I don't know how Aruba gets a baseball team into the World Series. I don't know how that works. I don't know how some teams, Chicago, get teams in, but people in New York can't. I don't know if it's all money based. I don't know if you have to play in the system. You have to pay a particular amount of money. But I know money plays into it. I know that broke baseball teams don't make it the World Series. I know teams that have a lot of money do. But I think the mighty dollar is always going to be the end all. There's even a saying in the Bible, for the love of money. It's not, it's not the love of money. It's the love of money. It's the love part that gets you in trouble. There's nothing wrong with money. It's the love of it that gets you in trouble. And I'm just wondering now with college football, kind of like, the top's off. We're letting it all fly out. I just wonder how much of it's going to trickle down, not only to a high school level, but also, of course, to a little league level. I mean, I think we already see, we're already seeing this in some schools, right?
Definitely.
Where we got a kid that's weighs 155. He's 5'11" and he's 9 years old. And people are already looking at him and going, hey, listen, maybe it's time to go ahead and play that divorce card. Maybe dad needs to move into our jurisdiction. Your mom needs to stay over there and we'll have two different mailboxes to make sure he can go to school here and blah, 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 blah. That happens. It does. I'm not saying it happens a lot, but it does happen. And I just wonder how far it's going to trickle down. What do you think?
Well, where it's going to trickle is interesting because right now it's a flood. So that there's got to be some trickle down, you would think, because I didn't do a good job of finishing my point. It's not so much on the high school level too now that it's just the direct recruitment of a players for compensation. The colleges are already doing that. But for families, what if you're a family living somewhere, some outpost, and they say, hey, we've got we really like your family to move to our community so your kids could play at our school. And, we've got this collective. We're going to buy you a house and give dad a good job with XO company. And, so you're recruiting whole families now. Who knows the limits of where this can go, how far it trickles down, Tony. I think you're already hitting on it. I think, a lot of these, little league teams and little league is so much different than when you and I grew up. We played other kids from our neighborhood. Now all the games, all my kids that have serious athletes are in travel ball things every weekend. These people pack up and go, you know, somewhere else in the Southeast and play, you know, weekend long tournaments. Kids that they're, you know, pitchers in school are getting Tommy John surgery before they even get out of high school, because they've already thrown so many innings. You just wonder about the wear and tear, and I don't know where you stop it, but it's once the floodgates open, I don't know that you can stop it. I think it's just a complete redefinition of what youth sports used to be, high school sports, and you know, college is completely upside down now. So where this whirling dervish pendulum stops, I don't know, but it's certainly the Pandora's box is not only cracked open, it's wide open.
Well, the big argument in college football all along was these poor kids are busting their butts going to school full time.
Yeah.
Going to 20 hours of practice a week and then playing football, and they're the stars of the program, right? They're the stars of the program, and they should be notarized. They should be recognized. They should be held up to a higher standard. That's why they deserve to get paid. They're making millions and millions of dollars for their university, right? People are tuning in to see the Trevor Lawrences, the world of the next Trevor Lawrences. We're watching these quarterbacks. We're watching Uiagalelei. We're watching these guys. And so they should be compensated at some level. And of course, that's an argument you're just not going to win, because you don't know that for sure. But I will say this. I know what ESPN spent on college football this year. I know what ESPN's paying for high school football, and I know what they're paying for the Little League World Series. If that type of money is out there, then there's no reason why the Little League World Series and even these high school programs shouldn't say, we want a piece of that pie. We want a piece of that action. Why are you some? Because you know what's happening? People are watching that stuff. I never thought in a million years I'd watch the Little League World Series. I didn't. And I'm watching it. I'm into it. ESPN does a great job doing it. I'm watching high school football, and I can't believe I'm watching it. I mean, and it's great. I love it. Don't get me wrong. But I'm watching it. And so if I'm watching it, your guy who's got a player, and I have a friend of mine who's got a guy on Spain Park and Hoover, and I mean, I hear it all day and every day. I know what kind of money he spends on his kids, and so if it all comes down to the Mahdi dollar, then at what point does that money not be trickled down to even Pop Warner kids? Why shouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the natural direction. They're going to start trying to influence decision making at the earliest age possible. I can't even imagine, you know, the rights fees and how that works. But you know, when Thompson and Grayson were on the other night, they say in that one game between those two programs that are both actively involved in recruiting players, I mean, they would deny that they invite players, they entice players, but they scoff at recruiting. But in that one game, the commentator said there are between these two rosters 30 kids on the sidelines in this game that are being actively recruited already for major college football opportunities on two teams. I mean, back when I played, if there were two prospects, you know, in the hole on both teams, that was star laden. Now these programs have loaded up these superstar, all-star recruited teams, and you've got 30 major college prospects just on two rosters. That's insane.
Yeah, it really is. What's really insane is you have two guys on a roster, does a fantastic TV show every single Saturday morning from ABC 3340. Yeah. We do it, and I can promise you the money ain't trickling down to us yet. If we need to give out some high school scores on Saturday mornings, we'll do it. I got news for you.
I said on Need to Know today that the reason I do this is because I love it and I think I have something to say that's important. But fame and fortune, they have not arrived yet.
we're just looking for the power trip, my friend. That's the one thing we can't control is our own power. are. So we'll go ahead and go along those routes. We're going to be on getting ready for Clemson, Georgia, that first SEC on ABC/Disney/ESPN. It's going to be fantastic. We're going to be all over. So make sure you tune us in. 10:30, 11 o'clock again on ABC 3340. We're going to have some special guests. Spy for Rent's going to be one of our brand new sponsors. They're going to be on the show. And of course, we're going to be breaking down games. We're already starting to hit games. You and I were on fire last year. Case Kiefer on fire again. We'll have some ball games, some picks from him from the desert. And of course, Terry Quillian and the legend also giving you the Tide forecast. I know he's looking forward to it. And we'll also have in the books this weekend, hopefully a big win for the UAB Blazers taking Alcorn State coming Thursday up on Thursday, night. Our first local, hopefully going to get a victory going on. For Trent Dilfer. So we're looking
forward to it. And we have a brand new show on TKR.
Yes, we do. We have a brand new program. Now, and by the way, 4-2 so far in free plays, 6-2 if you want to make an actual investment in what your plays are. But it's called K4 Wins. K4 Wins. K stands for Kiefer, for Kip, for Kai, for Curry. We got all the K's in there. And four, of course, the four of us and wins is because all we do, baby, is win. K4 Wins. It's a brand new show. It airs at 8:10 every Saturday morning, just before college football season or before college football. The schedule starts at 11 o'clock. Then, of course, you can hear it throughout the week. We do that show every Friday morning. So it gets up immediately on Friday afternoons. You can podcast it wherever you get your favorite podcast. K4 Wins. And it's a handicapping show. I really enjoy doing that show, by the way. There's four of us and 30 minutes flies by in a hurry.
Yeah,
we have four really guys does. That want to talk. I mean, and amazingly enough, we weren't stepping all over each other, which was fantastic. So check out that K4 Win show. It's really, really good too.
Well, I've got one of my best releases of the week coming up on Thursday night of this week, because there's some pretty decent games on Thursday. Mm-hmm. I've got North Carolina over Minnesota, and I think North Carolina, as of today, is about a 1 or 2 point favorite. But watch out. They've got one of the best running backs in the country, a guy named Omarion Hampton, who I think is going to be an absolute beast for the Tar Heels.
From Huntington Bank Stadium is going to be coming up on Thursday night, and we'll mark that down. North Carolina taking on Minnesota this week. Yeah, it's going to be fun because it's easy to handicap like this past Saturday because there's only four games. You can spend all day looking at it. I think sometimes paralysis by analysis, you know, you can look at a game too long. You just got to take it and go with your first feel.
Yeah.
Georgia Tech was that feel this past week. We'll do it again coming up this weekend. Thank you, my friend. I can't wait to see you in a couple days. We'll get after it. And there ain't no reason why we shouldn't just be, you're single, right? I'm single. We're both heterosexuals.
Let's see.
Yeah,
there ain't no reason why
hanging around here.
There ain't no reason why I can't put a cot down in your basement.
I've got a list this long to do this week, but none of them are honeydews.
All right, my man. I will talk to you a little bit. Thank you.
All right, Tony. It was a blast.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.